Hello and welcome to Launch. We're broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Ron Reardon, along with our producer, Lee Cantor. My co-host, Bill McHenry, is definitely under the weather. Lee, how are you doing today?
I am doing okay. Excited. Big show today.
That's right. This is going to be huge. Well, you know, Lee, on Launch, we focus on the launching of a business so that entrepreneurs can successfully navigate their launch. This morning, we're going to be featuring Alicia Fields of Free Range Art, LLC. But before we get started, Lee, could you thank today's sponsor?
Sure. Our sponsor today is Patents & More. Patents & More, protecting your innovation and connecting you to the resources you need for success.
And we appreciate their support. Well, Alicia Fields is the CEO of Free Range Art, LLC. She's an artist. She's an inventor. She's an entrepreneur. She found a need while struggling with her portrait drawing and developed a tool that we should be talking about today. She decided that other artists should also have the opportunity to use this tool, and so the patent-pending Sketch Genie drawing system is now on the market, and it's being sold on the Internet and at Sketch Genie workshops. But, you know, as a sideline, you know, Alicia's art has been shown in national and international juried and judged exhibitions. Okay, so it's won several awards, and two of her paintings are published on book covers. She's been painting for 12 years and active in local art organizations. And you can find her works in collections in New York, California, Michigan, Illinois, Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina. And you can also view Alicia's work at Atelier of Atlanta at Miami Circle in Buckhead or at Alicia Fields. So welcome to the show, Alicia.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm pleased to be here.
Okay. Well, I think you're the first artist that we've had on this show. So do you feel like you...
I'm not counting you. I saw your drawings from earlier.
my drawings do not qualify me to be an artist. Okay, I always tell people that I can't draw stick figures. But Alicia, do you feel like you chose a business or an invention that was kind of in your natural area of strength?
Absolutely. Being an artist, I think this is just a great tool because it's based on a method that artists have been using for hundreds of years, and it will save a lot of time, which of course is money to a lot of people. But either way, and it also helps people to learn how to draw if that's their desire, and to draw better if that's your urge.
Okay. Well, you know, I think my experience with being an artist was paint by numbers, okay, where, you know, you mm-hmm. have this thing and you sit there and you'd paint all the threes one color and all the twos mm-hmm. another color.
Do you think that's good? Is that good to learn?
I think it is good. I think that it can be very helpful. I did one when I was in elementary school.
Okay.
That was probably my first real painting.
Okay. Well, tell us about Sketch Genie and what artists used to do before Sketch Genie.
Okay. Before Sketch Genie, artists would draw a grid on their source material, and then they would draw a grid. This is, of course, with pencil onto their drawing surface, whether it's canvas or paper, a wall, whatever it's going to be. And they would enlarge the grids if they wanted to enlarge the picture. And then they would go grid by grid. Then they'd have to erase all the pencil lines. So with Sketch Genie, you don't have to figure out the ratios, and you don't have to erase the pencil lines. Then you don't have to mess up your source material.
Now, when you say artists used to do this, is this like Rembrandt or like...
I don't know if Rembrandt did. There are, I believe...
like famous artists?
Yes, there are very famous artists who have used it. I don't have their names with me. I have named a couple of them on the website, I think. But,
right, but this has been going on for years.
Oh, hundreds of years.
So you didn't develop this concept.
I didn't develop the grid method, but yes, this is something that you know, just saves a lot of time instead of erasing all the lines, drawing all the lines, figuring out the, you know, ratios.
Right.
And so,
So you improved upon something that had already been around.
Yes.
And then you've talked from an inventor standpoint, that's allowable for a patent, right?
That's correct. Yeah, because, you know, putting putting the figuring out the ratios and putting lines, you know, on a piece of paper and then erasing the lines, that probably is not patentable.
Right.
Okay? But a device that allows you to not, you know, have to erase the lines or figure out ratio, then that's a different story.
So then you can patent something like that.
Yeah, you know, the structure, if the structure is sometimes unique, or, you know, or the methodology of how to use a structure, yeah, that's patentable material.
Wow. So that's fascinating. So you, as an artist, saw a problem, or you were frustrated by, I guess, the mm-hmm. situation, mm-hmm. and you mm-hmm. came up with the solution.
Mm-hmm. I was actually struggling with portrait drawing. I had done a lot of still life, which, you know, has some flexibility in the product. But when you're doing faces, you have to be a little more exact. And I was not good at it. And I took a lot of portrait classes, and I came across Thomas Key, actually, a cartoonist, who actually explained the grid method to me. I had heard
so
about it. Like
you weren't familiar. You had heard of it.
I had heard about it, like a lot of artists I'm finding that really aren't, and that's why I'm doing the workshops. They're not really, they don't know how it works exactly. And so when I found out, and I was having a lot of success with the faces, I just got tired, like a lot of artists, of erasing the pencil lines.
Yeah.
So I said, there's got to be a better way.
Yeah. Now, on figuring out the ratios, do you have to know math to be able to do that?
It helps, but yeah, it helps.
And are artists kind of wired to do math?
Or? Yes. Not really, no. They don't like it at all. And no, it's not something that generally.
So this helps the math-challenged artist. They won't have to do the math.
Yeah, a lot of artists hang out in their right brain and, you know. I am fortunate. I happen to be left and right brain balanced. Although I've found out recently, I'm not. I don't actually always get to pick which one I'm going to hang out in.
Okay.
So if I go to a business meeting and I happen to be in my right brain, you know, it's not so good.
That's true. I think that's a little bit like. I think I'm more. That's probably why I'm not that good as an artist. Is because it's the other part of the brain, mm-hmm. the analytical part that's working. I know. You know. I've the contacts that I've got. The left eye is for reading and the right eye is for driving. And my brain automatically figures out which eye to be using. Like right now it's using the right eye because mm-hmm. to see you across, mm-hmm. across here. But if I want to, you know, read mm-hmm. something that's here on the desk, then my brain automatically switches. So when you go into a meeting, I guess your brain decides it's the business side of the brain that needs to.
It doesn't always decide. It finds out that I'm in the wrong.
She hopes that's true.
Doesn't always work. But with the eyes, it's funny. I'm doing the same thing as you are. So which eye is it that you're seeing distance with?
The right eye.
The right eye. Okay, so I'll look at your right eye. My left is for reading also.
Same here. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why that is, you know, but it's always been that way. So, yeah. So I can see how your the Sketch Genie would be really advantageous to probably most of the artists out there that feel challenged by math, you know, that might be a barrier for them using the grid method the old-fashioned way.
That's true. And it's also a time saver and a teacher, yeah. teaching aid. So.
Yeah. And so how did you come up with the idea for Sketch Genie? Once you learned the old-fashioned method?
Yeah, once I got tired of erasing and drawing all the lines, and I said, oh, boy, there's got to be a better way. So I just did a lot of thinking about it and trying to come up with something. I must have made a dozen prototypes. And I finally came up with one that was usable for myself, but it wasn't exactly what I would call marketable, which I wasn't even thinking about at the time. I used it for almost a year before I started thinking, you know, I bet artists would really like to have this. And so then I started working on figuring out a way if I could make it, you know, cost effective.
Right.
Well, that didn't work. In fact, I had abandoned the idea at one point because I talked to engineers and I researched materials and manufacturers, and I thought maybe somebody could just make a machine and whip them out, you know, but that wasn't going to happen. Yep. And so I did abandon the idea for a while until I heard some artists talking about, oh, yeah, but I don't like erasing all those grid lines. So I said, well, back to the, quote, drawing board.
That's right. And you know, it's so typical that inventors go through several prototypes, you know, before they come up with the one that's actually usable and marketable and all like that. It's really common. As you went from prototype number one to number two to number three to where you are today, what were the nuances? What were the things that were changing, you know, prototype to prototype?
Okay, what the frame was made out of, what the strings were made out of, where the strings are actually the actual grid, you know, how the tape to hold it together. That's pretty much the major changes.
Okay, they were it almost sounds like Thomas Edison's approach to when he came up with the commercially available light bulb. He was trying, you know, the light bulb had already been invented, but it was more of a laboratory oddity. It was very thick glass, it was in a vacuum, and it had a tendency to explode. And what he came up with was one that, you know, would sell and would last for a long time and not explode. And it wasn't, he kept really working on the filament in the light bulb. And I think he ended up using bamboo and every ingredient he could think of before he finally came up with that coiled carbon filament that we're familiar with today. But he went through like a couple of thousand prototypes until he found one that burnt, and then he knew he had something.
Interesting. Yeah, I had actually thought about some kind of rubber or plastic. I wanted something. Actually, at first, I was thinking something more flexible that you could sort of flop onto the paper and it would stick, you know, and then you just, you know, I mean, I don't mean stick like glue, but, you know, it would stay where you put it.
Right. Almost like what we call the repositionable note pads called Post-it notes. You know, it sticks and then you can remove it.
Well, not it wouldn't stick like Post-it note, but it would stick like rubber.
It would stick like rubber, but then it could
You know,
be
it would just flop on and flop off. And,
okay.
But I talked to someone about a machine that would cost about $10,000 to make, but the grid lines wouldn't be, I couldn't get them thin enough.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. And I didn't want to spend $10,000.
That's right. There's got to be a cheaper way of doing it. That's right. Yeah, that can be a real deterrent. So, well, we've got a $10,000 solution, or we can put it together by hand. Hmm, let's put it together by hand.
Let's try the
so
hand.
So we have a handmade American product here, you know, which is great for the times, isn't it?
That's right. Okay, it could solve the employment problem right here. We start cranking out thousands of these, you know.
Well, you know, I am training a couple of people right now to make them.
That's cool. That's really good. Yeah, and it's always interesting to me that a person will solve a personal problem, and it works for them, and they're like, there's other people like me out there. Mm-hmm. They'd probably want one of these, too. I always like the story about doggles, which are sunglasses for dogs. this couple had a Labrador Retriever. They come out with inside a house and to the outside when it's really bright and sunny. They both put on their sunglasses. They look at their dog, and their dog's squinting. And they're like, well, our dog has eyes, too. Hmm. So they built some sunglasses for their dog. And they're out walking the dog, and another dog owner sees it and says, that's cool. Where'd you buy that? They're like, well, we didn't buy it. We made it for our dog. And he says, well, would you make one for me? You can now go to doggles.com. It's a $1 million industry. And so, you know, I look forward to when Sketch Genie is doing that, you know. And it's used by artists worldwide, you know.
That'd be nice.
So that'd be super. So what obstacles have you encountered and overcome in developing the Sketch Genie?
Well, I mentioned one of them at first. That was the, trying to figure out what kind of materials I could use to put it together that would be marketable and of course, cost-effective. But I think that was the biggest obstacle so far. Really trying to figure out, because I had abandoned the idea. And I'm actually surprised that I was able to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're probably familiar with Sarah Bakley of Spanx here in Atlanta. She had abandoned her thought about cutting off the feet of pantyhose, you know, and marketing that. And it wasn't until she saw an Oprah show where Oprah talked about how she had cut off the feet of her pantyhose to solve a wardrobe problem.
Uh-huh.
She said, doggone it, you know, I'm reviving this idea. And she went forward, and, you know, now it's a huge industry, you know. So a lot of entrepreneurs, when they're starting off, they have fear. I mean, did you have fears? And if so, how'd you overcome them?
Oh, I have fears. I have lots of fears.
They're underneath the bed and in the closet, right?
I think one of the biggest fears really for me is wasting money. And I'm really functioning on a shoestring budget here, and I don't want to take out loans or anything. I want to go as far as the people want me to go. And so the way that I, you know, it's a delicate balancing act, but the way that I overcome it is I remember this Johnny Cash song. And, you know, I feel like this Sketch Genie has just sort of fallen in my lap, and I feel really fortunate about it, and I'm enjoying every step of the way. Well, maybe not every step, but most of it. And I think of this, it's like having four aces in my hand, you know, and in the Johnny Cash song, it's about gambling, right? And he says, you got to know when to fold them, know when to hold them, know when to walk away.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's always a concern of, you know, am I really wasting my time and my money on this, or is this really, you know, going to take off?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, Henry Ford had the statement that a lot of people stop with just a couple inches from success. You know, they're pursuing the right course,
mm-hmm.
and if they just
mm-hmm.
continue on,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have success. And a lot of people's like, oh, run away.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's really difficult to know when you're being foolish mm-hmm. and pursuing a dream mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. when you're being intelligently mm-hmm. persistent.
Mm-hmm. So I think about, you know, the response that I've had with the Sketch Genie, which has just been wonderful. I mean, everybody seems to love it, and particularly the artists in my workshops that are so excited about it. There was a 9-year-old boy in one of my workshops. His name is Chance. And I usually give out an evaluation after the workshop, and he brought me his evaluation. There's a little section for comments, and he wrote, "Thank you for doing this," and that's really keeps me going.
Yeah.
Do you find the people that gravitate towards it are already artists, or are they just total novices?
People that are not artists are interested in it and appreciate it, but usually it's the artists of some level, any level, that are really more interested and actually want one.
So how do you find them?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. I've been very active in local art organizations for several years, and so that's where I started. Introducing it to the art organizations, setting up workshops in Greater Atlanta.
So these organizations that surround themselves with artists, when you share this with them, are they like, oh, we've been waiting for this kind of thing?
Some do, yeah. Some don't quite understand it, I think.
Right. So they have to have a familiarity with the grid system, I guess, or an appreciation of it?
Yes.
Yeah, because I would think for some of the artists, it's going to expand their ability to make income.
Because yes,
now they can do portraits or things that involve intricate drawing.
One of the professional artists that was in my workshop, actually, she's a sculptor, mm-hmm. Toby Rosing. She has a studio at Artist Atelier here in Atlanta. Because of the economy, started doing watercolor. And because, you know, sculpting is pretty expensive. And since she took my workshop, she's just been doing all kinds of subject matter that she would not have been doing before.
So buying and learning the Sketch Genie can translate into more income for artists.
Absolutely.
That's cool. So how do you juggle the demands of family with your invention goals and your business goals?
By being very organized, I think that's one of the main things. And I break everything down into small tasks. And I've gotten to the point where I don't have to be perfect, and I don't have to do everything.
And that's what about your family?
Do
they go by those same rules?
Somewhat.
Yeah, the learning not to be perfect and for things to be good enough is a very important lesson. When in my early days in business, there was this fellow in the organization that they wanted to promote, but they couldn't promote him until he finished this last paper in college. He had everything done. All he had to do was turn the paper in. The professor had already told him, look, just turn it in. You're going to get the A because, you know, I know your work. And he kept working on it to get it perfect. Finally, his boss went to him and said, you either turn the paper in tomorrow or we're going to fire you. Okay.
Wow.
And as soon as you turn the paper in, we're promoting you the next day.
Oh, okay. Boy.
And that's when I learned the lesson about you don't have to be perfect. Mm. It just needs to be good enough and move on.
Yeah, do what you have to do. I keep a lot of lists. And I sometimes, if I get overwhelmed, I sit down and I just put them in order and say what has to be done first, what needs to be done right away, what can wait till tomorrow. But you mentioned family. I have very supportive family. My you know, they used to say behind every successful man is a successful woman, but behind this woman is a very successful man, and he does all the cooking, and he's a great chef as well as many other things, so... I'm thankful for that because that takes a lot of time, and I really, you know, have to cook, you have to plan, you have to think about it. I don't even like to think about it. I'd rather be painting.
Yeah. Has this invention and this business that's kind of grown from it, has that impacted your art side of you? Like, how do you balance that? Because the business side has certain, you mentioned left and right brain, but that has certain mm-hmm. needs.
Yes, it's definitely a balance. It's almost like, you know, moving from room to room. Each room sort of represents something. I go into my office and it represents left brain, and I'm working there. I go to my studio and I'm in my right brain, and I always have plans. I have a large series I'm working on right now, and I'm actually writing a book about it. So I hope to finish both this year. Small steps. That's what it is. Small steps.
Yeah, I remember seeing a documentary on Lucille Ball, you know, I Love Lucy show. And, of course, you know, we remember her both as an actress and as a great, you know, comedian. But then, you know, she ended up acquiring that company, okay, Desilu, and was running it. And I saw clips of her in the meetings where, you know, she's got her glasses on and she's talking about, mm-hmm. we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and we're going to produce this. And I'm like, whoa, you know, mm-hmm. she's accomplished, you know, as a comedian, but she's accomplished as a businesswoman, you know,
yeah.
And it's two different sides of the brain, you know.
Yeah, and I admire that.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Well, do you think, Alicia, that person needs to have certain personality traits to be an entrepreneur or an inventor?
I do. I really do. I think that an entrepreneur is the independent person who is self-motivated and very versatile, has to wear a lot of hats. And the inventor is a very creative problem solver who thinks outside the box and is not influenced when people say something can't be done, because the inventor believes that everything is possible.
That's true. Well, I've always heard that, you know, for inventors to be success, you know, they really need to enlist a team to assist them in the things that they're not good at. And it's encouraging to me to hear that you're actually training people in this area, because that really kind of multiplies you and extends your time, you know, once you get folks trained in that area.
I'm really lacking in lots of skills, and I do need to hire people in specific areas, one being advertising and you know, public relations and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I saw one commercial. I think it was for Office Depot, but I can't remember, where this person has got interns that are working for free in the office, but then when it came Christmas time, she bought them all laptops, and then once the word got out that, hey, yeah, you work for free for this person, but you get a free laptop. All of a sudden, she had interns, you know, totally filling her office. And I thought, that's kind of creative way to to get free help, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a way. Well, you know, regardless of a person's religious belief, you know, being an entrepreneur really involves a lot of faith, okay, and belief. So how do you keep the faith when things start getting kind of rocky?
Just make sure things never get rocky.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're in business? Well, I pray, for one thing, yes. And And I just try to remember the response that I've had, and I remember Chance, the boy in my workshop, and that helps me a lot to, you know, just keep getting through it.
Yeah, just, you know, one little ounce of appreciation from somebody, especially somebody young, mm-hmm. that, you know, they really, you know, there's no hidden agendas, you know, with a young person. If they're giving you a compliment, it's sincere, okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that can really energize you.
The mice have to find the cheese, though. Yeah, you got to find the cheese occasionally.
Yeah, there's nothing like a financial return
right.
to give you the faith to keep going.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can. All the intangibles are nice, but the tangibles are
nicer. I also think about the fact that I have sold Sketch Genies in about a half a dozen different states at this point, plus a few in Canada. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that also helps me to keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, when a stranger just finds it on their own, no affiliation, that must be mm-hmm. so rewarding for you.
It is, especially this one person in Canada that wrote me an email, and in the subject line he said, "I love my Sketch Genie."
That's, you know, you got to frame things like that. You got to celebrate those victories.
Put those on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right. I did.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, of you know, John Smith of Canada said this. You know, well, that's super. But, yeah, that's really important. Well, you know, how can our listeners get in touch with you and learn more about your business and about the Sketch Genie?
They can go to the Sketch Genie website. It's www.sketchgenie.info or .com. Either one will get you there. And the other information is there if you want to call or
And
write.
On the website, there's like you have videos showing how
I
it works,
do,
right?
Actually.
And pictures. There's a lot of stuff on there. It's not just...
It's not a real professional video. In fact, I made it myself. I hope to get a better one, you know, at some point. But it does explain the product, and it shows you how to use it. There's just a little clip on each page, so,
That sounds cool. Well, thanks for being on the show today, Alicia. Our listeners really appreciate you sharing your experiences and your insights.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
Okay. Another great show, Lee.
Yeah, and special thanks to today's sponsor, Patents & More, your trusted guide through the innovation jungle.
And you can go to our blog at thelaunchhour.businessradiox.com to listen again to today's show, plus previous shows. This is Ron Reardon, Lee Cantor, signing off another great session of The Launch Hour.